Hey, welcome everybody. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Tony, I say that every Monday. Welcome back, Tony. How are you?
I'm good.
Not like I've been here all weekend myself.
No.
Welcome back, Jaguars today. Short week, Tony. Compressed week, I'd say. This is like going to be like a can of frozen concentrate. Just add water. And if you, you know, if you take these Jaguars Today shows over the next couple of days and you re-listen to them over the Christmas holiday, it'll get you through the week. There'll be enough, don't you
think?
Sure,
yeah.
It's going to have to be because we're only here for the next couple of days. Actually, I believe Jaguars Today will roll on Wednesday with Lauren Brooks and Jessica Blaylock.
That seems to be the plan.
Is that the case, LB? You guys going to be down here on Wednesday after or Wednesday morning?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be rocking it from the studio.
Is that going to be your last Jaguars Today of ever?
Yes.
Do people know this? Do the people realize this?
I don't think anyone realizes it quite yet. I don't want to talk about it. I'll start crying.
It's a little sad.
It's really sad.
When can we talk about it? Because
well, I guess we're going to do it right now.
Ogier's he's tearing up a little over
No,
here
he's not.
Right
he doesn't have tears.
Just a little bit. He is. Yes, Johnny?
I'll make it.
You're going to be all right?
See ya.
This is it for Lauren. This is the last time you're going to work with Lauren.
Where's she headed?
Conceivably.
What's going on?
Tell us, Lauren, where are you headed?
I took a full-time position with a family friend who owns a landscape design company, so I'll be his office manager.
I got you.
She's going to design landscapes.
No.
What she's going to do. That's pretty amazing.
Cool.
Lauren's going into agronomy, and she may be, you know, probably in about 2 years will be the new groundskeeper. For
Ben Hill Griffin Stadium,
or
there
and everywhere. Where did you just say?
I was going to say Ben Hill Griffin Stadium.
Well, why would you want that job? That's a terrible job.
It's a beautiful place to live.
It's a horrible place to live.
No, I'll miss you guys, and I will not disappear. I'm going to try and pop in from time to time.
I would miss you. I was going to miss you right up until that comment about Ben Hill Griffin Stadium
or Doe Campbell.
Now I'm looking forward to Tyler Devitt coming in to take over. He'll be our new producer. We'll introduce you to him tomorrow. But LB, we're going to miss you in all seriousness. It's been a good season. I'm going to blame it on you. If the Jags win more than three or four games next year, it was clearly your fault.
It is clearly my fault, but it has been such a fun experience starting this show because it didn't exist before we did it in April. So I've loved every minute of it.
We've created a
just
a
not
monster.
Enough to stay.
Right, just apparently not more than landscape.
This is almost like we can still be friends speech.
Yeah, it's not you, it's me.
It's not you, Jaguars today. It's me.
Not at all,
Brooks. Well, that's kind of a bummer to start the Christmas week out on.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hopefully
Thanks
will
for that.
Recover. I know. Well, not that you caught. Look, congratulations to you and your new landscape architecture career. That you're going into, which will be spectacular. I didn't know you studied that in college, but that'll be good.
I studied marketing.
It sounds like one of those things you can just pick right up on the fly.
Yeah, it really does.
Doesn't
really
it?
Does.
You know,
just go out and sculpt a little land.
How's this tree look here? I don't know. Try it over there.
Right.
See? There you go. And you're all set.
So if you have any questions from now on, like if you're thinking about adding a bush to the front yard or whatever, just tweet Lauren Brooks. Take a picture of the spot and be like, you think it like a walnut tree or what are you thinking for this?
Right, is this called for citrus or does that is this the right time of year to plant that, John? Lauren will be your answer woman.
Yeah, I mean she's clearly the leader in the industry.
Already.
John's like, hey, I'm getting out of here early today. This is what we're gonna talk about for the next 30 minutes.
I know.
What'd you do yesterday, Johnny?
Watched a little ball.
Yeah.
I went down to Florida Theater and saw Swamp Radio, which is a pretty cool thing.
Do tell.
A lot of local artists talking about Jacksonville Christmases, and it was fun. It was good. My sister-in-law performed in it, so it
Oh,
good.
Okay. Well, that explains.
Whose husband is a landscape architect, so small world. Bringing it full circle.
It's all tied together now. What time was this endeavor?
Two-ish,
yeah,
three-ish.
Had to be a relative involved, man. It's 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon during football season.
Yeah,
for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Apparently, you weren't into
that.
You
do what you do.
That big Saints Falcons tilt.
I missed that.
How about
my son gave me updates as the game went.
You got those texted to you, or
Yeah, well, he was on his phone during the.
Oh, he was so okay.
Yeah, so
well, there you go. Tony and I were just looking at it. The Saints went from could have won the division.
Yeah.
To the 10th pick in the draft. currently is where we're at right now. Atlanta currently has the ninth pick in the draft, or they're hosting a playoff home game next week.
They could get to like seven.
Saints are an amazing thing. Five in a row at home for them to lose. It's unheard of, because they're built to play there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's one of the more amazing stats. It just shows you, it's not always they have a franchise quarterback and still can't quite figure it out this year. So.
Well, I don't know if it's a protection or what. And I know Jimmy Graham's had a shoulder issue, but it doesn't explain when he's on the field how you don't get him the football. I can understand if you got him the football and he couldn't hang on to it or couldn't catch it because he's injured. They can't get the ball in his vicinity anymore. This guy was an unstoppable force of nature. Drew Brees was a multiple-time 5,000-yard passer. And, look, one thing in that division, nobody's playing any lick of defense.
Right.
Whatsoever. I mean, Carolina, which had maybe the best defense in the league last year, is a shadow of what they were. The team that thought they might have had, well, certainly one of the best defenses in the league last year or this year was Arizona until Seattle just took them apart last night. And they right now are looking like like they looked during the postseason last year.
Yeah, sometimes with Arizona, sometimes with the defense, you can only play so long until, the offense's inability to get it done just sort of wears you down. And that's sort of what struck you last night was that, the Arizona defense, good all year. And then at some point last night, you wondered if they just, hey, this is just too much, And then Seattle gets a crack on you and gets up on you, and then Marshawn Lynch breaks off that run, which was incredible.
Unbelievable run. Beastquake 2.
Yeah,
it was not at home.
As much as a media guy, you sort of fundamentally, it's tough to side with Marshawn Lynch because of his, but
he stole your goal line celebration for one.
Right. Oh, yeah, but yeah.
That was your move around here.
I mean, it's carbon copy.
Every time Ozone turns in a new mailbag, he's running down the hall and diving into his office backwards.
Most afternoons, if you happen to be at Everbank Field, you can find me on the field doing that move.
Doing that move just, right there. Just completed the mailbag.
Yeah.
I'm going out on the field.
What else are you going to do?
I don't know. That seems like
the logical thing. That's lame.
All right. Nobody does that anymore. I don't even drink coffee. So, I'm out there watching Ozone dive backwards in the end zone. Yeah, I still think the playoff run against New Orleans was better. It was a pretty good one last night. Didn't break quite as many tackles as that other run. But for a guy who came in, didn't even start the game, was the third back on the field for Seattle, you wondered at that point, why are they even playing him? I didn't really, because they had that game in hand. They missed three field goals on top of the 35 points they scored.
Well, and they're just a team that really knows how they want to play. And really knows, what they are. They don't put their quarterback in situations that he's going to fail. He does what he does. He's very good at it. They run. They play defense. I mean, they're a team that if they're allowed to play their game, which they're physically imposing enough on defense where they can get themselves into that game, they're very tough to beat.
The one thing that, and Rodney Harrison was talking about this a little bit last night in the post game, the one thing you might have success doing is running right at them, which Dallas did this year and handled them pretty well.
Right.
It's an interesting scenario right now in the NFC. You got three teams tied with the same record atop the division or atop the conference, plus Green Bay has the same record as well, but they're in the wild card spot right now. So the Green Bay-Detroit winner is going to have 12. Dallas could have 12 if they beat Washington on the road. Seattle's got St. Louis next week, so they could go to 12. Dallas has the head-to-head on Seattle, but they don't in a multiple way tie. So
I'm drawing a blank. Has Green Bay and Seattle played this
year? Yes, Green Bay beat them in the opener. I mean, Seattle beat them in the opener.
Okay, and it's going way back. I thought they had. You wonder if, as well as Seattle matched up against Denver, if the Packers wouldn't struggle for the same reason. You get pressure on Rod. It's a way to beat a passing team, obviously. So it'd be interesting to see what matchup comes about, where and when.
I don't think anyone's going to Seattle and winning this playoff season. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter to me. Even Dallas, who did it this year.
We had the discussion, 3 weeks ago or whatever, when Seattle started this kind of run towards the NFC West crown. You could see the injuries starting to take their toll on that Arizona team, and everyone started talking about it as a Green Bay-Seattle, Royal Rumble, basically, for whoever's going to win the NFC. And when we had the discussion, well, what other team could jump in there? It's Dallas. I mean, it really is Dallas because of their ability with the offensive line to potentially completely control a game.
And they're getting to the point where they're sort of like Seattle. They know how they want to play.
Right.
And they're able to get themselves into that situation, which is a lot of it. Denver knows how they want to play. But a team like Seattle with a pass rush can get them out of how they want to play.
Great offensive line, hot quarterback.
Seattle and Dallas know they want to play and right now are able to get into those situations.
All right, you're only going to be around for a little bit this morning, potentially, because Gus Bradley, open locker room coming up in about 20 minutes or so.
And you'll probably see the number just go down.
Oh, it's dramatically. Dramatically.
It'd be interesting if we could see that in real time.
I wish we had the webcam ready, because I know you will do the backwards jump out of the room at about 10:30. I'm going to the locker room. And there he goes. There's no question that the ratings fall off significantly whenever you're not on the air here. But if you want to get in with Johnny O, talk a little Jaguar football, now's a good opportunity to do it. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asks you in the most holiday-centric kind of way to finish this sentence, John. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas this year for the Jaguars is a new blank.
That's good.
My early leader is new commitment from Warren Brooks to the Jaguars Today program.
Well, commitments, I mean, that's...
You know, but I guess a commitment would be, you know, you'd have to have commitment first to have a new
right,
commitment.
Anything, right.
Would no probably doubt. Be the way.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
So that's...
I'll chew on that.
Yeah, you can think about that, and folks can send those in via Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at John Osier. And I don't know what Lauren's changing it to, at Landscape Lauren, I believe, on Twitter. It's still at 1010XL Lauren. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm not really going anywhere.
I know. Well, you know, imagine if you were staying, you'd have all this to look forward to in 2015. Wild West Guns of Gold brings you the show every Monday. John Osier knows that. We've got your calls coming up. We'll talk about the NFL playoff picture. What did you do with yourself on a Sunday afternoon? You get a look at the Houston Texans yesterday. They played some pretty damn good defense against that Baltimore Ravens team and are still alive. They need a little help. They need to win against the Jags, and they need Baltimore and San Diego to lose, and they would be in the postseason. So certainly they've got a lot of motivation going into Week 17. Will the Jaguars be able to match that? We'll talk about that with Johnny O. Coming up next, if you'd like to get on board, you know the way to do it. 641-1010, the Facebook page, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. Again, the fan feedback spotlight today. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas this year for the Jaguars is a new blank. You can call in with your suggestions or your wish list or contact us via social media. We'll take a quick break. Come back with Jaguars Today live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here at Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Jaguars Today, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on the broadcast here. We're just trying to figure out if John Osier does any work come January 1st. You're pretty much done until, like, what, August after that?
Yeah, I mean, season ends 28, and then I'll roll back here probably August 5th or so. So that's pretty much...
Right. Will you do a daily... Are you daily mailbag 365? Is that what you're... Your thing is now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the ozone every day, and then, you know, here, you know, I do the ozone.
Do you get offended when I call it the mailbag?
And I hit the bar scene around 10:30.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
Hey, so, you and I are going to be hanging a lot. Everyone's like, well, my wife doesn't even know. She goes, so what are you going to do? Because I do, right now, I do shows on Sirius Monday through Friday,
right.
And I do the pre and post with JP on game day and have Jaguars Today. And a few other things going on. It's football season. It's that time of year. She goes, so what's your schedule going to be like after the Super Bowl?
We'll be done at noon.
Right. It's going to go about 10 to noon and call it a day at that point in time. Go see what Ozone's doing because I know he's not busy.
A little golf in the afternoon.
Walk down the hall. A lot of golf in the afternoon. I'm going to try it. I have not played in, what has it been, Tony, for me? Like 4 months maybe?
At least,
seem about right? Wow. I'm going to test it out on Wednesday for the first time. You're welcome to play,
Tony. Christmas Eve golf.
Eve golf. What's wrong with that?
That's right.
What am I teeing off at? Like 8:50 in the morning. Plenty of time.
You live here for a reason.
That's right.
That's right.
It's wonderful. Although it's supposed to be thunderstorms on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's supposed to rain up until Christmas Day.
You go out early to be fine. I'm a mutter. Oh, look at Jessica Blaylock
walking
in to the studio. belly up and grab a microphone. Blaylock, how you doing? What's going on? Here she comes. Maybe she's getting an early start on Jaguars today for this Wednesday broadcast. Hello.
I never stop working, ever.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You've been here? Did you sleep here?
No, because I was in Fort Lauderdale over the weekend.
Oh, working in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes. Flew back yesterday, tried to knock out all my Christmas shopping, back down at the Jags today. I'm ready, though.
Oh, you're down here because it's open locker room coming up
it's probably
in like
10 or 13
yep,
minutes, right?
Yep, talks in about 10, 15 minutes. Then we'll have a couple of players, and I'll take it back and get it ready for all the shows.
Well, I take it back. Why don't I just bring it in here, play it, and Tony and I'll bug
maybe
out early.
Maybe I can play it right off the recorder.
That'd be awesome.
I bet that
just hold that close to the microphone.
Quality.
I'm sure it'll come out just fine. So what were you doing this weekend in Fort Lauderdale?
I worked the Orange Bowl Classic, so the Florida State, South Florida basketball game, and then the Florida Wake Forest basketball game.
Were they classic?
Oh, were they ever.
Were they?
They were great. I mean, quality basketball left and right.
Paycheck. So. They pay real money, though, right?
Yeah,
that?
They do.
So that's good.
Nice. Yeah, I can actually go do my Christmas
shopping. Imagine all the people
now.
Who are paid to be at those games and sit in the stands. What do you want for Christmas for the Jaguars? Today we're asking Santa if they could have one thing, one new thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, what would it be? What leaps to mind?
Yeah,
for you?
I heard your question coming in, and I was thinking about it, and I kind of wanted to alter the question so I could end with instead of one thing.
Alter the question.
You're going to host on Wednesday. Alter your question on Wednesday.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say that I wanted some of that $600,000 bonus that Senderic got for that last sack on Thursday.
How much of that's left, by the way? Do you think they got a pretty good chunk out of that on Thursday?
There's probably a little taxes taken out. There's probably a little.
Well, with the taxes, yeah.
I would think there was some taken out on Thursday night. So
the rest goes home to mom, he said.
Yeah.
I love that, by the way. That was so sweet. I think I'm going to send it home to my
family. Sen's a good guy. He did
yeah,
get
he
some,
really is.
He got some good national pub out of that.
That was cool.
You know,
and
you'd like to see people become more aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he can sneak in not as the 10th alternate into the Pro Bowl.
Well, it's just cool to have a story. You know, this has been a struggling team. And the storyline, you know, for the last couple of years has been, you know, nationally is cloudy. I mean, they don't really know much about this franchise. So it was cool to have that as sort of a feel-good moment.
By the way, I'm late to the party on this one. I just wanted to throw it out there. That was Bad Religion, Honest Goodbye was the song. Can't figure out the theme, though.
Mm.
So I'll keep thinking about it.
It's a tough one.
Let's see if I can come up with it.
We want Osher to be more honest.
That could be.
That was the word I was focusing on.
Maybe they want me to say goodbye.
No.
What have the songs been so far?
This Honest Goodbye by Bad Religion.
Oh, that's it?
Couldn't imagine what the theme would be.
It's only 10:24, Jeff.
Your awards leaving, though?
Yes, yeah. I know.
I honestly don't
know. On a separate note.
No, but you know what? She's still going to be around for Helmets and Heels and all.
Yeah, how does that work, by the way?
She's after hours.
Because it's such a big deal, that show.
That's kind of
what
I thought.
We all
have
separate contracts that have certain things written in them, you know, certain requirements.
Understood.
And one of the things was that Lauren had the freedom to do whatever she wanted as far as Jaguars today, stay or leave. But she is required to stay for Helmets and Heels because she's such an important part.
She's such
of
a heel.
Team. We can't make it happen without her.
You guys are hosting for us on Wednesday.
Yes, we are.
What are you going to do? Never mind. I don't care. I won't be here. That doesn't really matter. But what are you going to do? What are your plans? Do you have a big plans for the Christmas Eve version?
If I'm being honest, I haven't even started thinking about it yet.
The Christmas Eve
I gotta take it
Jaguars today is the one that people really wait
really
all
is.
Year for.
I always read that.
You know?
That was, yeah.
Right, if you're out doing the last-minute Christmas shopping.
When I was a kid growing up, this was the Jaguars today.
That's
that
what
I
I'd always
look
forward
to
all year long. If I didn't catch any other Jaguars today, I'd want.
Oh, the days that
so
I would be driving around Arlington
good.
Listening to Jaguars today.
Well, I told you, if we wear Christmas elf suits, then Mark Long will come in.
Hell, I might come in on my day off. Did you tell? So what is the thing you want for the Jags for what you want Santa to bring?
The one thing, how about one more win before the end of the season.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
It is.
Aww.
That's just nice.
I'll bet you'll pick him.
You bet your ass I will. 16-0 every season, baby. One day it's going to work out.
Let's go to the phone, 641-1010. You going to take off?
I'm going to head down for Gus.
Okay. Stop by on your way out.
I think I know why. And
I'll see
you. And I don't worry, I will not
forget. High five. High five on that one. See ya. That's right. Jessica Blaylock, ladies and gentlemen. Let's say hello to Richard this morning on Jaguars.
Hey, now.
What's up, Richard?
Hey, all right. You guys ready? The only thing I want from Santa is another Lambo Leap after every big play. There's nothing better than dropping my beer for a Lambo Leap.
But we need to come up with our own name for it, right?
Yeah.
The Duval dive.
Was that off the top of your head, or was that?
That was off the top of my head. Yeah.
That was pretty good. The Duval dive. That's pretty good though, Richard. I don't know if we're going to get any more this season. Obviously, there's no more home games, but diving into the, I would imagine Tony, other than the fact that I would tear my ACL doing it, diving into the stands and getting the jubilant pats on the back. Would be a pretty phenomenal experience.
No, that'd be pretty cool. It's a little bit, it's not like Lambeau down here where the stands come straight down to that. There's kind of that walkway in between. So
true.
There were a few fans there. So basically he was jumping onto a metal rail
right
on his gut. While I was watching, I was like, that, I mean, I know you're not feeling much after running 64 yards, but that looks awful.
Yeah,
why not go celebrate with the fans that are on field level?
Right, the little field level section.
Yeah.
Why not do that?
That'd
right?
be awesome. You may get flagged for that, though, because it's way out of the way.
If that would be ridiculous, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole fact that the Lambo Leap is grandfathered in as an acceptable celebration anyway.
Technically, it's not really allowed. If they hadn't grandfathered it in as, yeah, you can go
right,
do that.
Right. They could do, because that's grandfathered in at Lambo. They can't stop anybody else from jumping in the stands.
Right.
I guess, which,
whatever.
Take your own life into your own hands.
That's right.
Yeah. We should set up some kind of deal with the field seats where they crowd surf the field seats.
That'd be awesome.
How many people sit in the field seats, by the way? It's a small number.
Yeah.
We need to test them for physical strength and endurance and see if they're capable of hoisting a Jordan Todman high over their head.
No,
and
but
depositing
he
him safely on the other side.
He jumped in there with the fans, and I'm watching, and I'm like, ugh, that looks awful. Like, he just jumped, and it was like gut first onto a metal rail.
Right. I mean, you could probably tear an oblique or something like that, but you can't say that. You know, you just got to tough it out and jog over to the sideline with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ken up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ken. How are you? Oh, Ken. How about Gary? Gary, you're next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gary.
The Jaguar League, and all I want is forget about all the Blackman talk. I want Amari Cooper, hands down, the best player in the draft. Get weapons for Blake Bortles. We don't need Blackman. Let Blackman go.
Gary, we've missed you. Where have you been?
Hey, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. But don't worry, I'm back.
All right, Gary. Thank you, buddy. Good. Merry Christmas to you. Gator Gary was
legendary.
Legendary. The first ever remote I did in Jacksonville radio, at least afternoon radio.
Gator Gary. How do you think it's going to work out on Saturday? Well, I think the Gators are going to win 76-3. They're going to get two defensive scores, two on special teams. Every week.
Seems reasonable.
Every week. And that was the more reasonable of his picks. You'd get 80 and 90. And
he just wants Amari Cooper, Tony. Is
Gary's
that too much to ask? For I didn't say the present has to be arriving on Christmas morning.
No. You know, you're filling out your own Christmas list here. You're just asking Santa for what you want. That seems pretty honest to me. He wants Amari Cooper. And I can understand there's probably a lot of fans that are listening to us right now who want Amari Cooper. I don't personally think that's the direction they're going to go with whatever draft pick they get there, probably in the top five. But I can certainly understand that there's a big group of people out there who are talking about him right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they did. I don't.
Wouldn't bother me.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they want to get younger on the offensive side of the ball. And
not at that position.
It's something we talked about. Look, they're so young on offense, and it's at least part of the problem that they're having right now is that they do have all these young guys. So if you want to improve the offense, I think that you're going to do it through free agency. And I'm not sure if they're going to go spend the big bucks that it's going to take to bring in say a Randall Cobb if he actually does hit free agency, or somebody like that, a Jeremy Maclin. But I do think they're going to bring in a veteran free agent that can at least be more of a steady hand for them in that wide receiver core. I don't know that they want to go draft another young wide receiver at that spot to come in and be the first round pick.
Not when they
have
so many other things still to fill.
Yeah.
I do think I could see them taking a running back, though, and as high as the top of the second round if the right guy is there.
Sure.
And one of the tweets I've received already today, and it probably isn't the only person who feels this way, all I want for Christmas is a brand new Amari Cooper and Todd Gurley. And that's fine. You can do that. That's a combination. All I want is a new pair of offensive skill players by these particular names, by the way. 641-1010. Let's go to Ken. Find out what he wants Santa to bring him for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, man.
All I want for Christmas is a free agent defensive tackle, and I'll take Todd Gurley as well. And,
hold on, a free agent defensive tackle?
Yeah.
Defensive tackle?
Yeah. Or defensive end. I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me.
No, that's all right. I wasn't trying to be a wise guy. I just was like, wow, this guy really wants to build a position of strength here. All right, so you want a brand new DN who's ready to come in and plug and play right away.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And I also have an idea for Lauren. I think we ought to do tails from the tractor.
That's good.
And she can give us a heads up. She can give us on the playing field when we're on away games. She can give us kind of a heads up on, you know, playing conditions, what the field's like, what a punt will hit like when they tell us how a golf ball will roll on a
right. What kind of grass are we talking? Bent grass, Bermuda grass? What are we playing on this week?
exactly.
Absolutely. And oh, by the way, why don't we landscape the field here at Everbank, right? I'm not saying palm trees necessarily. That gives you more of a South Florida feel, Tony. I don't know what we could plant, but maybe some nice shrubbery or something like that around the edges. I don't want to, you know, rip off the hedges necessarily from Athens or anywhere else, but, you know, I mean, this is what Lauren studied for her entire life. This moment is coming together. That's a great idea,
Ken. It's going to make the Duval dive a little more difficult.
I'm going to say some bougainvilleas.
Some bougainvilleas.
And some hibiscus. How's that?
There you go. Perfect. Maybe that'll be the area.
Did you just make up those words?
No. Is that how it's pronounced, bougainvillea?
That's how I pronounce it.
All right, I believe you. I've seen it written. I've never really known how it's pronounced. But I'll take your word for it as the agronomist.
Thank you.
In the crowd here. Let's get Reed in before we break quickly here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Reed. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
The only thing I want for the Jaguars this Christmas is an identity going forward so that the team can be recognized for something, to stand for something, to have a staple of what they are. That's their trademark. I just need that because I'm a Jacksonvillian. I've been here my whole life, and I remember we once had an identity. You know, you knew what you was going to get when you seen the Jaguars play.
What do you think? How would you describe what the identity used to be? What would you say that was?
Smash mouth football on defense. Stop the run, make them throw it, and make them pay when they catch it. On offense, it was a stable diet, and you see Coughlin still doing the same thing he's been doing. We run, we play sound football, and a thing Coughlin always does is he keeps a tight end to occupy the safety going vertical so he could get one-on-one on the outside. What happened to it?
It worked. It's all right, Reed, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you. He wants an identity.
It shifted. The mid to late 90s teams was
offense.
About Jimmy and Keenan and
yes,
Fred.
I me mean, too. It was
That's
it,
what they were.
I agree with you.
And then in the mid-2000s, when they didn't have a whole lot going on the offensive side of the ball, they were as tough defensively as anybody
Henderson.
In the league. Yeah.
Or Henderson, however you want to look at it. They were the focal point of that football
team.
They
were a bruising black and blue football team.
They
knew when you played
the
Jazz.
Attitude, right?
Right. And that mid to late 90s team, man, could they fly on offense.
I agree with you.
So good.
I didn't ever get the sense it was everything he was talking about at the same time. I think it was more, we're going to bury you in an avalanche of points in the 90s. And then you're right. You're going to know you're in a street fight in the mid-2000s, and I think they're moving more towards that right now. Maybe Blake Bortles comes to a point where in his maturation where it becomes more about him, but you don't have to be. You can be a very good quarterback, and it doesn't have to be about you. The New York Giants had a quarterback in Eli Manning who won two Super Bowls, but it was really more about their defensive pass rush. Right?
Sure.
I mean, that kind of was the identity.
Seattle's doing it right now. I think Russell Wilson is a good quarterback. Could be great. But that's a team that it's predicated on their run game and playing really, really tough defense right now up there in Seattle, and that's what's led them to the success that they've had.
641-1010 if you'd like to get in. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas for the Jaguars is a new blank. You can share your thoughts on the phone line, so you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren as well. Johnny O and Jessica Blaylock down in the locker room talking with Gus Bradley. We'll hopefully hear from one or both of those guys a little bit later on in the program, find out what Gus has to say this morning along with open locker room with some of the players getting ready as the schedule obviously shifted with the Thursday night game and with Christmas coming up. They'll be off Christmas Day. So today is everything's kind of condensed a little bit this week. Let's put it that way. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. The Cars, Bye Bye Love.
Just not getting it.
Maybe somebody wants a new car for Christmas. Honestly, I want a new car for Christmas. Just honest goodbye, bye-bye love. Just not getting it, Tony. It'll come to me, I'm sure, at
I'm
some
sure.
point today. The music theme of the day. You see,
Ozone
Charles
needs
Woodson.
A new car.
Is that what it is? It's Ozone?
Yeah.
Who needs a new car?
Yep.
Maybe he does. That's very thoughtful. We're looking out for you, Ozone. Charles Woodson had his 60th career interception yesterday. You see that?
I did.
I asked you, do you know who Emlyn Tunnell is?
Yeah, he was a Giants defensive back in like the 40s and 50s.
How about that? He's number
two.
He
may have been a part of the, I think he finished his career in Green Bay, but.
I don't know who he played for because I just have the list of names in front of me, but he's second in the all-time interception list. Paul Krause is number one with 81 interceptions. Emlyn Tunnell, assuming that's how you pronounce his name, T-U-N-N-E-L-L, has 79. Rod Woodson has 71. Only three guys with 70 or more. Dick Night Train Lane with 68. Ken Riley played in the late 60s into the early 80s with Cincinnati, has 65. Ed Reed with 64. He's officially retired now, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
He's done.
If he's not, he needs to be.
He's still, yeah. Ronnie Watts got 63. So does Darren Sharper. I don't think that'll be what he's best known for.
Probably
unfortunately.
Not. When everything is said and done, probably.
How about Dick LeBeau with 62?
Hey!
He was a pretty good player, as it turned out. And somebody named Dave Brown, who played all the way up through 1989, had 62 interceptions as well. So a pretty exclusive list of guys with
no
that
doubt.
Many.
Man. And just pulled up Emlyn Tunnell's Pro Football Reference page.
Yes.
And you know they do the fan ELO. I was right. He was with the Giants from 48 to 58, and then with the Packers to finish out his career. But they do the fan ELO Raider, you know, where they're just saying where he ranks all time, that kind of thing.
The what is it called?
ELO Raider. That's what they have it at the top of the page.
The ELO Raider?
Yeah.
ELO Raider. What does ELO stand for? Electric Light Orchestra?
I am not sure. But if you look at where Emlyn Tunnell is, he's at 115 all-time on their list. That's John Elway is 112. Mike Ditka is 114. Andre Johnson, one spot behind him with Reggie Wayne and Richard Dent. So he's among really good company.
You're talking about being ranked as that, like, the...
Yeah.
You're the 115th best player of all time.
I believe
that's
what this is saying, yes.
So they're saying Elway is what, the 100... What is it? That doesn't make sense.
No, I'm not sure exactly what it means.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
But it's on there. I mean, it's on the page, and that's
well,
the company he's among.
Then there is a number. All right, so he's somewhere in the neighborhood with those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Because I find it, you know, Elway would have to be. Wouldn't you say everybody would rank Elway as a top 25 player of all time?
I would think so.
I mean,
yeah.
I personally rank him. For me, he's the number one quarterback ever. But that's. You know, discussion for the off season kind of day. I guess not. There's 22 starting positions, not to mention the specialists. So I guess it's not inconceivable that there would be people that rank him considerably lower than I do. I would think he wouldn't be outside the top 100 in any, you know, reasonably well thought out list of all-time players in the National Football League. 6-4-1-10-10. We'll discover at some point. That's what I want for Christmas. What does the Elo Raider mean? Can someone explain that to me? 6-4-1-10-10. Let's go to Joey next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Joey. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Love the show, guys.
Thank you, man.
All I want for Christmas is some more development from the young guys. You always hear they make the biggest leaps between year 1, 2, 2, 3. Looking at the secondary, we've got Grotz, McCray, Evans, Cyprian, Colvin. How good can this secondary be next year? And I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, I think that's the big question for me is how good is Cyprian going to be, Tony? And if they get that free safety, you know, and a lot of people, I think Pete Prisco is probably the first one I saw mention Devin McCourty's name, and now everyone says it like they had the idea organically on their own. So I like to at least credit Pete. You know, if anyone else came up with it independent of Pete, maybe they did, but I think that's how that thing works sometimes. But if they go that direction, which would make a lot of sense, right? There's a couple of spots. I think as a whole, you want to have veterans added on offense. Okay. It doesn't mean you wouldn't draft a rookie running back because you want a young guy. You don't want some, you know, to be the future star at the position, say for 5 or 6 years, which right. I don't know if they ever envisioned Toby Gerhart being that. I think they envisioned him as a guy who could handle a big workload and get them through. And on defense, I think, well, they're not old. They've got more, you know, impactful older veterans like Chris Clemons and Red Bryant, but that secondary is so young that you'd love to see a veteran free safety kind of come in and take charge of the back end, right? So if you had that, I think that frees us up to see how good Jonathan Cyprian's going to be. I think McCray and Colvin are going to be an excellent pair of cornerbacks. You know, health, obviously. I think that's a position, though, that I think you continue to draft guys at late in the draft, much like you did with McCray in the seventh round, that fit your mold of what you're looking for, that may not fit every scheme in the NFL, and then you develop those guys, you can practice squad those guys, you can bring them along slowly because you seem to have your frontline guys, and there's not going to be a need, whether Gratz ends up the nickel, whether they bring back a guy like Alan Ball, I don't know at this point in time, but I think the frontline guys have a chance to be really good at corner. I think Jonathan Cyprian didn't take that big leap from year one to year two, and I hope he takes it from year two to year three.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tackle machine, but that's pretty much all you can really say about, you know, Jonathan Cyprian. And he's a safety who plays down in the box a lot. That's what they ask him to do. Now, they're not able to do exactly what they want to do with Jonathan Cyprian, I think, because they don't have a free safety right now that can play the position the way they want it to be played with Josh Evans. He's an okay player. He's not bad. He's just not good enough to free up Cyprian to do what they want Cyp to be able to do, which is basically be the eighth man down in the box. If you want to compare it to Seattle, look, they didn't draft Cyprian to be Earl Thomas. They drafted him to be Cam Chancellor. To be the guy that is making plays in the middle of the field for that defense.
You remember as an impactful play that Cyprian made all year as the one where Chancellor blew up, who did he blow up last night? Was it Stephen Taylor?
On the third and one or the fourth and one, whatever it was?
I don't even think, I think it was after that, because I don't think it was like one where they stopped him right at the line of scrimmage. He had gained, whoever it was had gained, probably Taylor, gained like 2 or 3 yards, mm-hmm. and Chancellor just textbook planted him.
Right.
I mean, right. Big time.
And that's what Cyprian was brought here to be, is that type of player. And you haven't seen that kind of thing from him yet. I'd be curious if they fix the free safety spot, upgrade the free safety spot, if they feel like it frees up Cyprian to be that a little bit more. I agree with you. I think that the combination of McCray and Colvin is going to be the starting combination for this team going into next year. And maybe it's Grotz playing at the third spot. Maybe it's not. I mean, we'll see. This is a passing league, and you mentioned the idea of continuing to draft guys in the middle to later rounds of that position. That's why. You can't have enough guys that hit the quarterback. They got a lot of depth on that defensive line right now, and you can't have enough guys that can cover. And the combination of those two things, I think you do use the draft to get better at those kind of positions. You use free agency to shore up, get some age on the offensive side of the ball, and I think you use the draft to get young and get better on the defensive side of the ball to continue to add to depth, because the strength of this team right now is on the defensive side. I think you draft to your strength more so than you draft to your weakness in the NFL draft. And I think that's what the Jags will continue to do, draft defense.
I think they will, for the majority, do that. And again, running back, certainly, look, there's all kinds of wild cards when you get to a spot where you feel like this guy exceeds his value on the board. You know what I mean? I don't know if they're targeting Aaron Colvin or they looked up and said, wow, you know what? At this point, he meets the value we have placed on him coming off an ACL injury. But regardless.
It's working out.
Yeah, it's absolutely working out. And I think, you know, offensive line, I think they'll go the veteran route for the most part. I'm not saying they couldn't draft a right tackle at some point. I don't see them really drafting so much interior linemen. I think they'd go more the veteran route of guys to come in and push the young guys who are already on the roster. But I think the four guys from left tackle over to right guard walk in, at least on day one, as incumbent starters. I don't think they go out and sign a guy whose contract, like when you signed Zane Beatles last year, there's no question. He's coming in based on that contract. He is a starter. You can talk about competition all you want. He wins the competition in investment, in dollars invested in him. I don't think they bring in an offensive line with the possible exception of right tackle that you'll have that feeling about coming in this offseason.
And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Start 2015 with a brand new smile. Maybe the custom fit stop snoring mouth guard if you need cosmetic work done. Or if you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. It was December 22nd, 1946. Otto Graham led the Cleveland Browns to a 14-9 victory over the New York Yankees at Cleveland Stadium in the first All-America Football Conference championship game, which would later go on some of these teams to merge into the NFL, Tony. I now know why in 1946 Ted Williams won the only measly pennant of his career with Boston. The Yankees were doubling up playing football on top of it. I mean, that's not bad, 14-9, considering a bunch of baseball players were playing in that game.
Sure.
So that's pretty good. Otto Graham won a boatload of championships, including that one, apparently, 14-9 in the All-American Football Conference back in 1946. No significant birthdays that I found on this date in football history, which is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is the state in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Marshawn Lynch, who has been fined several times now for not speaking to the media following games, did technically speak after his huge run, and the Seahawks went over Arizona last night to put them potentially back into the driver's seat of the NFC. Here's how Marshawn's post-game media session went down on his big run for the touchdown. Quote, thank you. On how his stomach is feeling, quote, thanks for asking. On what he saw in the long touchdown run, quote, thanks for asking. On his touchdown run, quote, thanks for asking. Reporter asked, what's that? I said, thanks for asking. Reporter, can you talk about the run? I know. I said, thank you for asking.
I know.
I appreciate it. On if he can describe the 79-yard touchdown run, thanks for asking. On his stomach issues early in the game, I appreciate you asking about my stomach. Thank you. On if there was any concern if he was going to play at all tonight, thanks for asking.
He's very polite.
I appreciate it. A lot of thank yous. He was.
I know.
Very thankful that they would.
Can you talk about that? I know.
I appreciate you asking about my stomach.
Thank you for asking about my stomach.
Week 16 of the NFL finishes up tonight with Denver and Cincinnati. The Broncos need a win to keep their chances of winning home field throughout the AFC playoffs alive. They have already clinched the AFC West. The Bengals need a win to maintain a half-game lead over Pittsburgh in the AFC North. Those two teams will close out the regular season on Sunday Night Football next week with the division title on the line. Cincinnati has not been good in prime time since Andy Dalton got there. New England currently would be the one seeing the AFC playoffs. They only need a win at home against Buffalo next Sunday to lock up home field. The Broncos would lock up no worse than the two with a win tonight. Could still get home field if they win their last two games and the Patriots lose to Buffalo next week. The AFC North is still up for grabs between Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. The division winner most likely winding up as the 3 seed. Indianapolis has clinched the AFC South. They could move up to the 3, but most likely going to wind up as the 4. Pittsburgh at 10-5 has clinched a playoff spot, and San Diego at 9-6 are the 5-6 seeds right now. If San Diego beats Kansas City on Sunday, they are in. Baltimore also at 9-6 needs a win and a San Diego loss to get in. Both Houston and Kansas City are at 8-7 and alive, but both would need everyone in front of them to lose if they were to get into the playoffs. So Houston does still have something to play for when the Jags come to town on Sunday. The NFC is a little simpler. Five of the six playoff teams have already been decided. The only playoff spot that is up for grabs being the division winner in the NFC South, which comes down to Carolina and Atlanta. They will play one another on Sunday in a winner-take-all division championship game. Seattle took over the NFC West lead and the one seed with their win last night. If they beat St. Louis on Sunday, they probably lock up home field throughout the playoffs. Detroit is currently the two seed. They play Green Bay on Sunday in Lambeau to determine the NFC North champion and potentially the two or one seed in the NFC playoffs. By the way, Detroit has lost 22 consecutive games at Lambeau Field. 22 consecutive games in Green Bay.
Oh, but 23 years ago was a glorious day.
Dallas clinched the East and at least the three seed yesterday. The NFC South winner will be the four. Arizona has clinched a spot. They're waiting to see if they will be the five or six, and the second place team there in the NFC North will wind up being the other wild card team.
All right, so two things. One, Cincinnati, you've got them going 9-6-1 and missing the playoffs because you think they'll lose to both Denver, which I think they'll lose to Denver, but Baltimore, I'm not so certain. That is a Sunday night game, as
Pittsburgh.
You said. Pittsburgh. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's right. Pittsburgh.
I think they lose both.
That's true. If it is Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's playing better football. They may, in fact, lose both. Osher had them in the Super Bowl this year. I'm feeling good about my Super Bowl pick. Did I go chalky? Maybe. But you can only pick two teams, Seattle and New England. I'm feeling pretty good about that, especially if New England is able to finish off home field throughout in the AFC. I think it's a little more wide open than it seemed to be. I mean, you know, the Jets are no great shakes, you know, and New England goes in there, comes away with a 1-point victory. It's back and forth all day. I think they can certainly be had on the right day. I think more teams are capable than we realize. And I said a few weeks ago, I thought Pittsburgh was kind of the dark horse. They can just score with anybody. I don't think they can stop anybody, but they can match you score for score.
Yes, they can.
And, you know, over in the NFC, where it is certainly it's much better to go to the playoffs, right? Because we've seen number six seeds go on to win the Super Bowl, and most of those you weren't saying, well, look out for this team, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Atlanta is going to do that. In fact, I don't think they'd win a game in the playoffs, but it's kind of like, well, if we win, we're going to get our heads beat in a week, and if we lose, we're going to have
playing Arizona. I mean, the winner of the South could beat Arizona in their home stadium.
That's true. They could.
No, you're not going to go to Seattle and win.
If they do get their brains beat in, it became a get your brains beat in versus having like the seventh pick in the draft.
Right. I mean, that's really the discussion right now. The NFC South, whoever loses that game on Sunday, right now Atlanta is in the eighth spot in the draft.
And if they lose, it's only going to improve.
Right.
You would think it'd bump up maybe to seven, something like that.
So New Orleans gets eliminated from the division race. They're ninth. I mean, they're ninth. And Carolina's not listed on there right now because technically they're leading the division. And if you make the playoffs, you get slotted all the way down at 22 or whatever it is.
Yeah, how many teams don't make the playoffs? 20 teams?
Yeah.
So you'd be 21.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, that's the difference. You're talking about losing half a round of draft position if you win or lose.
And again, they shouldn't even be thinking about that. It's certainly much better to make the playoffs. There's no question about it. I mean, it's for everything, for the fans, for the team. You have a chance. That's the whole point. Yeah,
yeah,
you're home. Yeah, you could. Look, we've seen it happen. It's happened. The sixth seed, Green Bay is a six. The Giants is a six. The Ravens is a six, all within the last, 7 years or so, right? I think we've seen.
Sure.
During that period of time.
The wild cards are a little bit different because wild cards are teams that you're usually talking about. They're having to win late to get in. So those are teams that are usually hot.
And they could be theoretically the second best team or the third best team in the conference.
I haven't studied it, obviously, since they went to this wild card format. But my guess is that the fourth division winner is not very fortunate when it comes to playoff. I have a feeling the four seed in both conferences probably has the weakest record of any of the teams over the course of the last 10 to 15 years. When it comes to playoff,
we should look that up.
It's the weakest division winner.
Right, but I'm trying to, we should look that up. The weakest division winner That's an interesting premise, and you might, in fact, be right. I just would like to see the numbers
sure.
on it. Let's go to Harold up next, 641-1010, if you'd like to get on board Jaguars today. Good morning, Harold. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Not to get greedy, but being that I'm an only child, and that's kind of what I do, I've got two Christmas wishes.
All right.
And the first one is going to be, I want Justin Blackmon to come back. If I could add the caveat that he somehow gets a halo for Christmas and decides he's going to put down the blunt and the 40 and whatever it is that he's doing and come make some plays for this football team, because I salivate at the thought of having him in there with Robinson and Hearns and Lee. That's just, I think that could be a really good thing for Bortles development. And two, a guy a lot of people aren't talking about, I see Gurley getting snatched up at the end of the first round by one of those winners who's just a guy away. I want to see the Jaguars go out and get a guy. Maybe I'm a little biased with this, but I want to see him go out and get Duke Johnson, a guy that has the speed to be an NFL running back, and he's got the strength. You could argue he's got the best stiff arm in all of college football this year, and that's saying something for a guy with sub-4.4 speed like he has.
All right, so all right, Harold, I appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas to you, Tony. I always caught up in thinking about putting down the blunt and the 40. I was thinking, wouldn't that be a great off-season training regimen to carry around LeGarrette Blount as you ran 40-yard dashes to improve your playing speed?
Nice.
Probably not going to happen.
No.
I do think, I mean, everything you hear, and we don't know. We don't know. We're not with Justin Blackmon 24 hours a day or 1 hour a day, for that matter. But the fact that he completed a rehab program leads me to believe that he is finally facing up to his demons or attempting to.
Yeah.
Right. So that gives you some hope. And this organization has stood by and supported them as much as they possibly could from afar during this time period, probably more than you can even realize right now. And I think it would be a great feel-good story if for nothing else, then let's just get some more talent on the field. That would make me feel good. As much as, nobody's hoping anyone throws their life away. But personally, you make your choices. You know, there are 7-8 billion people in the world. I can't worry about the choices you made that were poor choices in your life. I hope you turn your life around. That one's on you. The team, I think, has given every effort to try to help him, you know, get things turned around in the positive direction. And if he can, I hope he can play football at a very high level for this football team. And I don't think it's out of the question that that happens at some point in 2015. Just don't count on it. But that's why you're asking Santa. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas when it comes to the Jaguars is a new blank. That's your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day. We'll get more of your calls on the other side at 641-1010. Maybe Blaylock will spend a few minutes and tell us what Gus Bradley had to say as she has arrived in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. All that coming up and more. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It was an early morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn.
It's right there on the tip of my tongue, Tony. Can't think of it.
I do know this is Supertramp.
It is Supertramp, Goodbye Stranger. Just can't quite pull the theme together for today. I don't know. What do we have? We had the Cars, Bye Bye Love. We had Bad Religion, Honest Goodbye. I'm not getting it. Just not getting it. I don't know what the theme is yet, but that's not uncommon.
I refuse to figure out this theme.
Sad.
Yeah.
I feel it's a sad theme. Is I going to cry? It's a little bit of a sad theme. Jessica Blaylock's back. That's not sad. Cheer up, Tony. Jessica's here. That was quick, huh? I guess
yeah.
Maybe it wasn't. It's like an hour later.
Well, we did go into the locker room afterwards to talk to a couple of players. So Gus talked for probably, he talked a little bit shorter than he normally does. On Monday, he'll typically talk for about 20 to 25 minutes, but today I think it was only around 15.
Yeah, he's usually talking about the game they just played.
Exactly. But of course, no game this past Sunday. That's because they already took care of business this past Thursday night.
That's right, Titans.
Tennessee.
What?
You
what?
Don't want any of that?
Don't want none.
Called it. Nailed it.
Woo!
Pick that game.
So you should have picked more games this year. Wait a minute.
Oh,
you do.
Wait.
Oh,
on.
I'm sorry.
What's my record? No.
That's not enough. You're I'm guessing you're 3-12. Picking the Jags games.
Just
this
as far
year.
As the Jags, but
yes.
my overall record for NFL picks is not stellar.
Is it
either.
Not? You guys pick against the spread or you pick straight up?
No, we pick straight up. But I pick with my heart, not my head.
Yeah. Picking straight up. I mean, it's not always the easiest thing in the world, but...
Well, it should be easier than picking against the spread. Yes. I should have a better record than what I do.
I'm guessing,
way that I put it. If people have made any bets based on my picks this season, I have lost some individuals quite a bit of money.
Well, those are dumb people.
I'm talking like taking out a second mortgage on your home type money.
Right. And you know who else is dumb? Anyone who takes my advice when I give them bad fantasy advice. If they say, should I play this guy or that guy? And I say, this guy, if it's not the right guy, you shouldn't play him.
You should have known it's, better.
Right. In all seriousness, I had one guy. He's not out of it. He's got a, you know, the week 16 is like it for fantasy football for the most part. It's championship time. And this guy said last week, am I being a homer? Is it only because I'm being a homer that I would play Blake Bortles over Russell Wilson? And I said, yes, that is the only reason you would play Blake Bortles over Russell Wilson. And he tweeted me a picture of some fortune cookie talking about how the bold man wins everything and blah, 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 blah. And, well, Russell Wilson won everything yesterday. I'm sorry. Russell Wilson was the bold man in this instance as he went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs last night against Arizona. So what anything of interest that Gus had to say today?
Yeah. One thing that I specifically wanted to ask him about was just Blake Bortles and doing a better job of taking care of the ball. You know, we talked to Jed at the halfway point, and he talked specifically about wanting to cut Blake's interceptions in half in the second half of the season, and Blake has done a better job, I think, of not turning over the ball. And one thing that Gus said was what's made a difference is he's done a better job of finding answers, being able to find answers when he's in certain situations out on the field, and so just improved decision making and things like that. And I think it's a part of him growing and continuing to be more comfortable in this offense, and hopefully these rookies and this young offense continuing to grow together. And he was asked about Allen Hurns, spoke a little bit about Allen Hurns and just why he's been able, especially as an undrafted rookie, to, you know, he's got a chance to finish the season leading the team in touchdowns.
Touchdowns,
so,
yeah.
Yards.
Right, everything.
Right,
be
exactly.
Their, basically the most accomplished receiver this year.
You know,
year.
What has worked well for Allen Hurns? And I think a big part of that is having some familiarity with the type of system that Jed Fish wants to run. And so that definitely helped, having that comfort level, that familiarity. And, you know, I'll give Allen Hurns credit. He really has done a nice job, and especially over the middle. My goodness, some of the contact that he has taken while catching some of those passes, it's been ridiculous.
You know, I talked to Brandon Linder about that last week. He said even for him as an offensive lineman, there was some benefit to knowing
Jed's
system. I think
it's
so much more as a wide receiver, though. Because you're a lineman. You're like, you know, there's so many concepts that you're going to do. And with a wide receiver, it's the whole – you know, concept of the offense and all the different routes that are featured and all that. I think there's a lot more going on with that. But either way, probably benefited both of those guys, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, the thing with Blake and cutting down the interceptions, mm-hmm. I think there's some of it has, you know, I don't know how you quantify it, but all the focus about midway through the season was on that. Too many picks, right? It was however many. It was like 8-16 touchdown to interception ratio, something like that at some point. And I wonder if there's some element of that's in the back of his mind. Don't throw the bad pick. Don't throw the bad pick. Taking a sack's better than throwing a pick. That the sacks have gone up, you know, and I'm not saying it's all that's, believe me, people get upset. Oh, you're trying to absolve the offensive line. I'm not. I'm just saying as a function of all the things that go into protection, I think that's somewhere in the mix in there. You know, you don't want to turn your guy into Mr. Tight. You want to, you know, you got to walk that line between, okay, we want you to drive the ball down the field, but at the same time, let's not just hand it to the other team, you know? And I think that balance as a young quarterback is sometimes difficult to figure out where that point is.
I think so, because that's something else Gus mentioned when answering that question. He gave credit to Blake, or, you know, that there was an emphasis on cutting back on the turnovers, but he has continued to play with freedom. And, yeah, I think that's a very...
Well, it's good he says that.
Yeah, for sure, because that's the last thing you want to do is shake your rookie quarterback's confidence or start taking things away and limiting the game plan, because you don't want him to be hesitant to take a shot downfield if he sees something, you know? So, yeah, I think that definitely makes sense. And look, all the times that the sacks have been addressed, we've talked repetitively that it hasn't always been on the offensive line. I mean, some have been on running backs not picking up, you know, whoever's blitzing. Some have been on Blake holding the ball too long. Some, yes, have been on the offensive line, but it is not just solely on
it's
the
probably O-line. It's probably the majority on the offensive line. I mean, when you give up that many sacks, it's typically, you know, the offensive line is the primary culprit. And so, again, I'm not trying to make this, you know, oh, Blake's a young quarterback who holds football too long. Look at Luke Jokel. He's ready for the Pro Bowl. It's not that.
No, well, we go back to the conversation of when you look ahead to free agency and what this team is going to do in the offseason, and you feel like going into training camp next year that what they have right now at left tackle to right guard, those four positions are probably going to be the guys that come in as the incumbent starters. Doesn't mean they're going to be able to keep those jobs with whatever competition they set up during this offseason. That doesn't mean that there's going to be huge scrutiny on that position going into this offseason. And when they come back and they say, look, we understand that these four guys were young, they were trying to learn how to play together, that doesn't mean that they don't need to improve. It just means that they feel pretty good about some of the young players they have on that offensive line and how much they can improve going forward. Doesn't mean they're playing well enough right now to feel good about that offensive line going into 2015.
Except maybe Linder. I think Linder
Except
has.
Linder, yeah.
I think Linder has, and I think more often than not, Belanco has.
I agree.
And I think, especially when you're considering he was a sixth-round pick and he's light and he needs to, you know, have an off season where he needs to just focus
sure.
on bulking up a little bit.
But I
bit.
Think a lot of fans hear us talk that way about the offensive line and they hear it as, really, they're not going to do anything to improve it? No, there's going to be large scrutiny on what is going on with that offensive line and the decisions they make about it going forward. They feel good about the young players they have there, but their hand could be forced to make a decision with those guys before they wanted to have to, depending on how they play going forward.
I would agree with that. When you look at this team, what is the biggest need, single need, you see on this football team, whether it's offense or defense, if there's one position or a position group that you think needs upgrading the most?
Boy, I would think I feel really good about the defensive line. I mean, I know a lot of people still want to see that elite pass rushing defense.
Right, and they may draft a guy at the top of the draft. That doesn't mean that that group is the one in most need of improvement.
Linebacker obviously has some need, but man, I mean, do you need just a ridiculous cover corner or safety back there with all those young guys? I mean, a real difference maker.
I do think they need a difference making free safety.
And that's probably what I would say.
Yeah. On that side of the football, I don't think there's any question. That's probably the one position. Right now, if they were to line up, I'd feel better. Assuming everybody comes back healthy, I'd feel better about Puzlusny, Telvin Smith, and JT Thomas
right.
as a starting linebacking trio, even if it's ultimately not how it ends up, than I would with Josh Evans or anybody else
right.
back in that free safety spot.
Yeah, I mean,
spot.
Telvin Smith has been such a fun player to watch this season.
I mean, he could be not only just good, he could be a star.
Yeah, he really could.
You know, I mean, he's got the tools, and there are guys like that in the NFL that clearly just didn't fit the measurables, and obviously he fell because of the positive drug test at the combine and all that. I mean, there are other reasons why he fell in the draft, but his stupidity was the Jaguars' benefit, you know, and for him, I think it's pretty evident, at least it seems to be evident, that Telvin Smith realizes he screwed up. He had made the most of his opportunities, been playing fantastic football. And, you know, you go back over the years, you look at their special players that this don't fit the mold. Elvis Dumervil, who they just played against, you know, with 17 sacks now, I think.
Right.
You know, just doesn't look like he should be able to play at the way he plays in the National Football League because he didn't fit the height, weight requirements, you know. But there's some guys just have it. I think Telvin's one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, because that was the question about Telvin coming in. You know, he's built more like a corner than a linebacker, but his athleticism has by far made up for anything that he may lack in size.
Let's get a couple calls in before we say goodbye to you and wish you a Merry Christmas. Jessica Blaylock and Lauren Brooks hosting Jaguars Today this Wednesday. Let's go to Lee up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Fine. I'm trying to turn this off a speaker. Hold on.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We'll be here. Yes, we can.
Okay. I just wanted to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I want to thank you for doing the Jaguars this year. I was hoping that they would have a better record, but you know, I realize that they're a team in transition, and I hope that they really do well next year. I'm a big Denver Bronco fan, so I know what it's like to have a team that was constantly on the bottom, and it took them forever to finally win their first Super Bowl. But my wish would be for the Jaguar fans to just be patient. I know it's been a long time, but they just really need to be patient, because this team, I'm sure, will be great 1 year. I mean, not 1 year, will be great in time, but it just takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of chemistry. And that's one thing that these fans really need to have, is just a lot of patience, because the Jaguars will be on top. You know?
Lee, thank you. We appreciate the call. Merry Christmas to you as well. I think a lot of Jaguar fans would say we've already exhibited tremendous patience at this point in time. But unfortunately, for a playoff run, you're going to have to at least be patient to the 2015 season at the earliest. Let's get Justin on here next before we break. Hi, Justin. How are you?
Hey, hold on. I'm trying to figure out how to log off of Facebook. It was a joke. You missed it.
I know. I got it, actually. We did. It was pretty clever. No, that was good. That was good.
Just to touch on the Bortles and the interception thing, I totally agree. I think he finally learned, like, you know, when the blitz is coming, don't try to force it. Live to play another down. You know what I mean? Like, it, you know.
Right, right.
Even though he's laying down when they get close, I'd rather him do that than throw a pick.
Which is a tough thing to learn sometimes when you're a young quarterback, you know?
Exactly.
So.
Hold on, I'm still on Facebook.
All right, yeah, we'll get that password figured out, man. And Justin, Merry Christmas. All right, we'll see you. Well played, sir.
That was solid.
Not too bad. or the good ones. Hang on, I'm in the drive-thru. I can respect that, because you know when you call somebody, you may be like five cars back, and then finally get through. It's time to order your chicken sandwich, whatever the case may be. All right, Blaylock, what do you want for Christmas this year? Do you have a wish list? Are you a big Christmas present getter?
You know what? I love buying people gifts. I really do love coming up with the perfect gift for people. Now that I'm older, my Christmas list is not nearly as exciting anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, let's get season 6 of this TV series.
Yes.
Or let's get some clothes, which I don't need any more of because I already can't fit them in my closet. It's silly stuff like that.
I told my wife, you're going to be cool if I play golf Christmas Eve morning. Not Christmas morning. That's my present. Just let me play. You don't have to buy me a round of golf. I don't need anything. Honestly, if I would need anything, I already got it. I already bought it.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting for Christmas to get anything. I like buying stuff for my 10-year-old kid.
Yeah, I'm excited to see my nephew open up the things that I got for him versus opening up gifts myself.
I'm excited, and I know Tony is as well, that there's a 2-day work week, and thanks to Jessica Blaylock and Lauren Brooks for making it so for the Jaguars Today crew. So, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you,
thanks
too.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks
lovely
for letting
and talented.
Me hang out for a little bit. I love that I just walk in and sit down.
And that's how we are. We
like,
literally,
yeah, hey, I'm here.
We are literally an open door show. We don't close the door unless we're being too loud, which is quite frequently, because I'm told you don't need to speak as loud as I do just because you have headsets on. People can hear me now, and I'm talking in a much more conversational tone.
Yeah.
Yet, I like to project my voice.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yes,
I
that's
like that
me.
Better.
All right, so there you go. Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
All right, see you in 2015. Jessica Blaylock, ladies and gentlemen, out the door. Jaguars Today, we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight coming up next, which asked you to complete the sentence, Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas this year for the Jaguars is a new blank. What do you want? We'll find out next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I like the song, Tony.
Excellent song.
It's The Who. The song is over.
We'll see him in April.
I guess you stumped me, Lauren.
This was a suggestion, actually, from Kayak Fish, Mike, who listens all the time. So, decided to use his suggestion.
And which was what?
The song.
Oh, the song.
He suggested this song on Twitter today.
No, I'm stumped on the theme, though.
Oh, are you?
Lauren's leaving us.
I'm leaving. But I'm not really leaving. I'm just leaving...
us.
I'm just sort of leaving.
Tony and I.
Yes.
The two of us.
I thought you guys would appreciate having Tyler instead of me.
Tyler will be a fine producer, I'm sure.
Totally
Tyler,
agree.
Tyler Devitt will take over you. You hear him now on occasion. I guess he's on the Sawyer Gas post game, the post, as we call it.
Florida Pump
here.
Service fifth quarter, I believe it's
is
called.
Is it Florida Pump Service fifth quarter?
I think so.
That's one.
Sawyer Gas kickoff is the 9 a.m. show.
That's right, the 9 a.m. You probably hear him on both.
I think so, yeah.
He does updates for both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Well played and well executed with the sponsors there.
Thanks. You know me.
Tell him I'm busy. I'm deep into show prep at that time of day when I'm getting ready to go on the Publix
tailgate
show. Oh, yeah. Deep into show prep.
Are you really researching your fantasy project picks that you want to do that day?
Mm-hmm. I didn't say what show I was prepping for. I might be. It could be an epic, epically good weekend for me if things fall the right way tonight. Realistically, probably win 4 out of 8, possibly 5, but alive in 6.
Do you win any money in any of these?
Oh yeah, I got about honestly, I don't play for much money. My total entry fees for the year is probably $125.
Oh, that's not bad.
And I've already locked up like $1,100, which is pretty good for that amount of entry fees.
Sure.
You know, like 9 times return on investment.
Are you at the point, I mean, we talk about the FanDuel's giving out $2 million, you know.
All this money, I already talked to my wife yesterday, all this money I'm winning this weekend, it's all going to a FanDuel account next
right.
year.
Right, and look, they're talking about $2 million, $1 million for second place. All these websites are doing the same thing,
I'm
right?
so going deep and, into the FanDuel next year, it's not even funny.
But I'm watching, like, the games yesterday, and they're like, play our playoff challenge, win $5,000. I'm like, what's the point? I was like, you're watching.
Right. It's like, that's
why
not
would
a million.
You even get in that
that's
competition?
That's not $1 million.
Right.
That is not $1 million.
That's what they've done to us.
I played in one. It was a $10 entry fee. And there are all kinds of people that are in this,
sure.
right? And the grand prize for the whole year is like 10 grand, which is nice for a $10
great.
Entry
yeah.
fee. Yeah, but one person's going to win that, and then, you know, chances are
right.
it's not you. I'm with you, right? Like, it's like the people like me who don't play Powerball unless it's an insane amount of money. It's like $100 million, because
yeah.
$30 million wouldn't be enough. I guess, if I were to win that one.
Sure.
Sure it would.
And one of them, is it NBC maybe doing the one where it's like a win a trip to the Super Bowl? And since we go every year, I'm like,
Right. Who can't win a trip to the Super Bowl?
I was like,
do I get a press credential?
Right.
I already got that.
I have no use for this. It's like, what is the point of this competition? But for the fans out there, they obviously do keep fantasy going through the playoffs. So if you want to try to keep winning some of that money, get on it.
No doubt. But in all seriousness, I'm going to try to bankroll. I've been talking to these guys, like the guy, Travis Spieth,
mm-hmm.
who won the $1 million. He's first FanDuel $1 million winner. FanDuel, if you listen to the show, you know, we talked about it a lot. It's a weekly fantasy football, website where they literally pay out over $10 million a week. Now they're not giving it away. They're taking in a bunch of entry fees, but the
sure.
guy won $2 million, a week ago Sunday, got in. He qualified on a $2 entry contest.
$2.
Had the high score that week in that $2 entry contest, qualified to go to Vegas where they flew him out there, put him up in a suite, guaranteed him 10 grand. If he had the worst team of the weekend, he's going to win 10 grand. So for $2, he's already at 10 grand. And then it turns out he was the only guy to have Jeremy Hill in his lineup. And Jeremy Hill went nuts.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the beauty of it. You pick who you think is good. So next year, I'm going to bankroll it. I'm going to slow play it, like, kind of like poker. Like, you can't just go into these $2 contests thinking, oh, I could win $2 million. The way to do it, they have a lot of 50-50 contests. If you finish in the top half of the field, you double your money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way to build up your bankroll. So I've been getting tips on this from the guy who actually was the first $1 million winner last year. All these commercials we do is so funny. We're like, hey, Chris Prince from Detroit. He's an avid fantasy football player who's won 646,000. I'm like, no, I talked to Chris. He's now like 750. I mean, all these guys are now on Sirius. They're all like doing their own shows.
Sure.
They parlayed it, and good for them. But it's not like they hit one thing. They're really good at it. And there is a method to the madness. And I'm going to delve into it on a little deeper basis next year. I say this every year, Tony. I got to cut down to week-to-week leagues. 19 leagues this year. Made 12 semifinals, 8 championship games. That's pretty good. But still, I feel like, you know, cut out about 5 or 6 of those and you could focus a lot better on the ones at hand. But I say that now, and then somebody's going to invite me to a league next year and I'm going to go, yeah.
Yeah, I'll draft.
Drafting's fun. Yeah. I like drafting. So there you have it. Today, Fan Feedback Spotlight, Tony, on a Wild West Guns and Gold Money. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. We asked people to complete the sentence, "Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas for the Jaguars is a new blank." What do we get?
Here's what we got from Dusty. "A well Justin Blackman, would love to see him better. Hashtag Christmas Miracle." From Peter, we got, "I want a new name for the Clevelander. I hate their name in my stadium. How about the Floridian?" From Eric, "All I want for the Jags is to get better. However that happens, this town needs a winner. Hashtag love them." From Brother Jason, "A dominant running back drafted in the second round named Todd Gurley." From Brian, "Indoor practice facility with posh digs for the Jaguars today crew and a growler of John Osher favorites brew." And from Stevie Howland at Irish Jaguar, we got "O-line or improved O-line." And then Charles sent us his entire wish list. He sent 4 different tweets, but he said, "A clean, healthy, dominant, and fiery Justin Blackman." He tagged Justin in that one as well. He also said, "A free safety with great instinct and range, an O-line that can run block and pass block at a top 10 level throughout next season, and a seriously consistent threat at tight end."
That's all I want for Christmas.
That's
those
a bunch.
17 things. Yeah. But hey, you know what? It's Christmas. You can ask. It's no harm in asking, I suppose. If you've been good this year, I guess we'll find out. If the Jags have all those things next year, we'll know that he's been good. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the Fan Feedback Spotlight. And check him out at TomBush.com and at Tom Bush Motors on Twitter. They've got all kinds of year-end sales events going on right now at all their places: Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush Mini, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Volkswagen. So again, log on to TomBush.com, find out about all the latest as we get ready to head into 2015. This is oftentimes the best time to buy an automobile as the 2014s are marked down and mm-hmm. the 2015s are rolling out onto the lot. So what about for you, for the Jags? Dear Santa, I want a new what?
Well, I thought about this while I was, again, you know, the Jags had played Thursday, so yesterday watching all the rest of the NFL, and I thought about it while watching it, and I went over the playoff, basically, scenarios a little bit earlier on in the show today during the Honda Drive around the NFL, and that's what I want. It's next year when we get to week 15 or 16, it's like, this is what the Jags need to get into the playoffs. I want there to be a scenario where in week 15 or 16, we're going into week 16 and 17 and saying, look, if we win and this team loses, we got a chance.
Right. I want something, though, with 3 permutations and not 12 permutations.
Right. But I want the conversation to be about, here they are. They're alive. Because on every broadcast yesterday, for at least 15 or 20 minutes of their broadcast time, they are talking flat-out playoff scenarios. And if your team was alive in that scenario, you were being talked about. And I don't think there's any greater publicity for a team right now, especially for a small market team, than that kind of conversation having to be had about your team being relevant in a playoff discussion. If I could just give me that next year, the Jaguars in December being talked about in a playoff scenario. Give it to me, please.
LB, Lauren Brooks, what do you want for Christmas for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm going to say a pass-catching tight end.
That's good, too.
Thank you.
All those things, pass-catching tight end, I'm just going to say offensive playmakers. I mean, whether they turn into from guys that are already on this roster,
yeah.
It's got to have people that threaten defenses that you have to game plan for. Maybe that turns out to be Blake Bortles at the top of the list, and we talk about him being one of these guys ultimately, like Russell Wilson, by the way, who makes those guys around him that much better. I know that's a cliche in sports in general, but I truly think it's applicable to certain players like a Russell Wilson and like Peyton Manning. I mean, the best quarterbacks do that with their guys. Go look at who Russell Wilson's throwing to. and he threw for 330 yards against one of the best defenses in the league. Ran for another 100 and something as well.
Yeah.
On top of that, guess you can't play the game that way though, Tony. You got to be a pocket quarterback.
You have to be to have any kind of success.
Unless you're
league.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's Fran Tarkenton, right? He scrambles to throw, and then when he takes off, he hardly ever gets hit. He's incredibly savvy. He's aware of what's happening around him. He gets down. He doesn't get hurt. He rarely takes a big shot. And he turns guys like Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse and Luke Wilson and
sure.
these guys into a reasonable pass-catching core.
There are more guys who are pocket passers who are successful in the National Football League, but there always seems to be one or two of these kind of scramble around, make things happen with your feet guys that find success in the league at the same time too. And right now, Russell Wilson's kind of the picture of that, and a bunch of the young guys that we thought may have been part of this young crop of bringing that back into the NFL, some of those guys are going by the wayside, and Russell just keeps getting better.
Yeah, he's an elite quarterback. There's no question. I know Pete Prisco might argue with you on that one, but
he made plays from the pocket last
wrong.
Night too.
He's wrong.
He can
about
do whatever.
That guy. Look, does the mold still work as far as, you know, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers? These guys are pocket quarterbacks who have mobility. True, sure they are. Russell Wilson doesn't fit that because he's a little too small to live in the pocket exclusively, and maybe one day those wheels will slow down. They didn't slow down for a long time for a guy like Randall Cunningham, right?
No.
Fran Tarkenton played that way his entire career. No reason Russell Wilson can't have a 10-year run playing exactly the way he's playing right now.
No.
And the way that defense is stacked up in that running game, you tell me who you'd rather have if you could have one team right now to win the